during exercise. Blood flow-restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And welcome to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, where we're driven by LombineAuto.com. Good morning, Tim Miller, along with Dylan Sherwood, as we bring you the program this morning. On the docket today, a visit with the new Emporia High softball coach, Tommy McClure. We'll bring him in here just momentarily. And then after that, we're going to talk some sports throughout the rest of the hour, Dylan.
It's an impromptu show.
Exactly right. Greg Ray getting a little R&R, taking, I think, a birthday party for a family member.
Yeah.
Greg enjoying a little time with family, so good for him. So without further ado, let's bring in Tommy McClure, the new softball coach at Emporia High School. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
All right.
Good morning, Coach. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good.
Well, I know you and I got to chat a little bit last week, does it still feel surreal that you're getting ready to make a move to Emporia?
Yeah, it's still I'm still kind of like, you know, excited, and you know, it hasn't worn off the feel about going to Emporia.
Coach, give us a little bit of a bio on you, previous stops, just your overall coaching resume.
Yeah, about 10 years ago when I started my teaching career, I was in about a Hugoton area. And I actually started travel ball for my kids, you know, and the town, they didn't have really a feeder program. So for about two seasons, I had been doing that. And then the head softball position in Hugoton came open at the high school, you know, and they asked if I would like to interview for it. I took over that position for 2 years and then moved over to Liberal for 5 years, where I've been, you know, had been currently coaching at. And you know, among other than just softball, I've helped coach wrestling and football at the high schools, both towns.
I guess, what does it mean to be, you know, you've had the head coaching experience. What kind of maybe stood out in your interview with Bo Welch that you really liked about Emporia?
What really stood out to me was that, you know, softball is kind of like seemed like a priority. You know, yeah, they had some young players that are returning, and, you know, the program's kind of, you know, it's in a tough conference. And, you know, there's no doubt about it, and you're facing tough teams all the time. But, you know, it wasn't like, you know, I was coming in and they were just like, hey, here's the keys, you know, kind of thing. They were actually genuinely interested in, you know, softball as itself and wanting that program, you know, to flourish. And, you know, I've been most of the time with coaching and that it's kind of it's been an open position. I'm the one that has experience and, you know, you kind of just feel like the keys were handed to you. Where this one was, I'm actually interviewing for the position, trying to, you know, get that respective earn, you know, to get that job. And like I said, it's in a good area, and you're seeing tough competition every day.
Coach McClure, what drew you to the job? I mean, do you have family close by, or was it just you wanted to get into a situation where you, I mean, you mentioned the Centennial League, or is that simply what drew you to the job?
There was a lot of factors coming in over, you know, towards the end of last year, and my son, you know, he got sick with a liver failure. He's right now in Denver. And we knew that eventually when he gets out, he's going to have to be around near bigger hospitals for some of the care. And he's still wanting to, you know, pursue Ottawa as his college of choice. And so we wanted to be close to that area. I have a daughter in Kansas City with my grandson there. And so, you know, family was, you know, the big part of some of that move. But also, like I said, I was still, you know, looking for that one job that, you know, was appealing to me. And like Emporia, like I said, it has all the pieces, the town, you know, there's a lot to do, a lot of things area. You know, over here, when you do softball, you're traveling almost 4 or more hours just for softball games, where the competition is just around. You don't have to go as far.
And I know you mentioned your son, but you also have a daughter that will be I believe you said to me last week, will be a senior at Emporia High?
Yes. The last of my crew on that, you know, had, like I said, I got into softball because of my daughters. You know, first two were girls, so you kind of transition to the sport that they're going to be in. And this is my youngest, and, you know, she's going in her senior year. But all my kids, you know, all my daughters have been utility-type players, so they played about every position that you could.
Coach, you know, is this just the right step for you to make this move at the right time, especially when you still have like you mentioned about your daughter going to be entering her senior year? Did you feel like it was the right time besides all the other circumstances that you mentioned to us just a few moments ago?
Yeah, I believe it is. You know, like I said, you're getting to that point where, you know, they're leaving the nest and you're kind of finding, you're wanting that long-term, you know, what's my next stage? And this is definitely one of those chances to see what the next stage of your life in coaching career is going to be. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot of opportunities in that area just in the sport itself.
Coach, have you had a chance yet to meet with the team or some team members? And if so, how did that all go?
I have not yet been able to meet with the players, but I, you know, I am coming up this week to do some house hunting and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that is like on the top of my list. I'm going to talk to Bo and try to get some of the, you know, go in at during the weights. I mean, it's kind of, for me, it's kind of a struggle because I'm usually in part of a lot of the summer stuff. So, that's my first main goal, is to, you know, get with the players and, you know, introduce myself and talk to them, you know, and see what they're, you know, how they are and get a feel of what they're looking for and their needs too, so I can help with their development.
What's your biggest emphasis right away for you to get going with this program?
You know, like, I've already started looking into different things, you know, and I'm constantly a learner for the sport. So, I mean, the best thing to do is to kind of figure out what your athletes are. So that way you can start setting up what your vision is for the next season. Because, you know, your players are different. In even season to season, you may have different talent levels, and you're going to have to gear your offenses and your defenses to that part. So the best thing is to learn, you know, what your players' strengths and weaknesses are, and then to kind of come up with a game plan, even for them, what they need to, you know, start working on for the next season. You know, usually with me, summer ball, we work on our, you know, what we're going to use for the next season. And so, you know, when I've been doing it, I haven't worried about, you know, wins and losses in summer, because, you know, that's not what our goal is reps and working on what needs to be done. So, for example, we've had pitchers, you know, they might have started learning a new pitch late, and they don't use it during our season in high school, but during the summer, that's the time that we use it, you know, to get more effective with it, so they can get a feel with, you know, how it goes with batters, what the strength is, and just get constant reps with it, so that way the next year that we go into high school, they're able, you know, we're able to use that pitch. Same thing, you know, if we start a new slapper, we want to get more reps with them as slappers, you know, during the summer. Like, you know, because, you know, most of those kids are going to, you know, kind of fail more than your normal hitter. You know, their stats are going to go down, and they got to kind of learn to go through that. So that way, you know, like I said, once they get to high school season, it'll be their strength.
Coach, to kind of piggyback on Dylan's question, just kind of give us an idea of the philosophies, the style of coaching that we'll see from Tommy McClure.
Well, you know, like, I'm more of an aggressive, like, especially in offense. You know, sometimes it bites me. You know, it's one of those things, you know, I picked up from, you know, the clinics. We definitely have a open offensive book, you know, where some of our players, and I've kind of developed it even more through the years, you know, depending on the hitters, the styles, and what's going on with the game itself. But, like, you know, we have the short game that we use, you know, a lot, and with the offensive base, aggressive on the base pass, you'll see a lot of bodies in movement, you know, and we try to get, you know, usually when you're with going against the weaker teams, you see a lot more base stealing, and the stronger teams, you see a lot more hit and run. And so, you know, that's kind of what we try to look for, is getting defensive players out of position and, you know, getting that ball into play and advancing the runners and scoring. So, it was kind of one of those things that I, you know, picked up from, you know, it was like a Tennessee offense, University of Tennessee had it. And then, you know, some of the clinics that we went to, UCLA's hitting coach, you know, brought in a few things, and, you know, I implemented it into our offense. We have a, you know, for example, we have a fake, which is a fake bunt, pull back, and then they go with the bunt, you know, just different things to try to throw the defense off. And then as far as pitching-wise, you know, you have to go off of what your pitcher's strengths are. If they're a power pitcher, you know, we're looking for those Ks. Whereas if they're maybe not a power pitcher, we're looking to try to get the ball into play to our defense. So you might see, you know, us developing drop balls, change-ups, off-speeds. And that's the thing. I'm not one of those, you know, we'll throw it whenever we want to throw it. So, and I try to implement that to our pitchers, like that mentality, like, hey, you're the one up there with command. If you want to throw it at this time, you're going to throw it at this time. We're going to throw that batter's timing off.
Well, and what has to be exciting for you, and Dylan got to see the team play. I did not, but certainly what I can tell you is it was a young bunch, not a lot of seniors. So that has to have you encouraged. You're going to have a pretty good group coming back.
Yeah, and that was, you know, that's another thing that's, you know, very beneficial is that, you know, when you go into a program and that you, it's hard when you have that huge graduation piece. You know, I've had it several times where, you know, one group graduates and you're kind of in a rebuild period. But, you know, like I said, you're in an area where most of these girls, you know, even during travel ball, they're going into Topeka, Wichita area. So, I mean, they're constantly around, you know, tough teams. And, like, the Centennial League is just itself is tough. So, you know, like I was telling most of the people is, you know, these girls, they may not seem or think that they are, but they're already battle-tested comparison to some of the players that I've coached in the past. So, you know, and that's a benefit, you know, and in them being young, you know, they got more time to bond and gel with each other.
I guess, what does it mean? You know, how big is off-season softball? I know there are, you know, like at Washburn Rule or someone, you know, where a lot of the players that play softball, they just focus on softball. But how big is off-season softball? And you mentioned travel ball. How big is that to gain those reps? And I know there's some fall ball as well, but just how big is it, you know, when they get an opportunity to gain those reps?
You know, and that's the tough thing, and that is, you know, you got to go with are you wanting them? You know, some places, you know, that's the mindset is, hey, you're a softball player, you're going to be a softball player, don't worry about the other thing. But, you know, you can't, you know, I tell people, it's like, I can coach softball, but you can't coach athleticism. So it's more beneficial that you have your players do other sports because, you know, you don't have them in that constant grind, in which, you know, a lot of injuries come up as they're doing the same thing over and over again. And eventually you start seeing some of those injuries pop up. So, you know, for summer and even fall and, you know, winter's time, it's okay for those players to, you know, naturally and go and do other sports That way they're, you know, teaching their body to be an athletic body. So that's kind of part of my thing, like I said. So, like, in summer, you know, our practices went down because over here most of them are in every other sport. So, but, you know, you also have that mindset where some of the kids that if they know that softball is their top priority, then they're going to have to up their, you know, reps at that point. So, I mean, if their goal is college, you know, softball, then, you know, they're going to have to balance that load where they're going to have to put more reps towards softball in comparison to, you know, some of the other sports. You know, it's happened in our house. You know, our daughters were, you know, they took a little less time with their, you know, summer volleyball and stuff like that, you know, to put more to softball because that's where they were going. And vice versa, I've had players that were, you know, volleyball players, and they went and did more volleyball during, you know, softball time during summer. So, but, you know, like I said, you can't coach athleticism, and, you know, you got – it's they're, you know, they're young, and they need to enjoy this time too.
We're talking with Tommy McClure, the new softball coach at Emporia High School, coming to Emporia from Liberal. And Coach McClure, what about youth programs? Your thoughts on that development?
Yeah, I mean, the youth program is very beneficial. And, like, that's another good thing about what Emporia is, you know, I've, you know, been following the energy in that, and they've got some good young groups coming up. As for a high school coach, you know, from our first few years, I was teaching everything, you know, because, like I said, I was doing most of the youth part. And so you're teaching and teaching and reteaching, and then when they get to the high school, you know, unfortunately, if you don't have a good youth program, you're teaching about everything, you know, even the softball side of the game, plus, you know, the mechanics. And so that takes a lot of time. If you have a really good youth program in place, once the players get up there, now you're focusing more on, less on the mechanical part of it and more on philosophies, game strategies and stuff like that. And, you know, it makes the season a little bit easier when you're not, you know, because you don't have to start, you're not getting in too late into the season to your strategies because you're still working mechanical stuff.
And, Coach, when you and I talked, we mentioned about what you'll be teaching. You'll be teaching special education. But I guess, what does it mean to be in the building and knowing that you're going to be able to have some time to build the relationships with your team that you're inheriting?
Yeah, it's very beneficial to be in the building. You know, like I said, first few years of me coaching that, I was always out of building. I was either at the middle school or elementary school. And so you don't get to see the day-to-day with the players. They don't get to come in and, you know, talk to you, or, you know, you get to see them in the other areas of, you know, what they do. But, you know, with you being at the high school, you know, you can find those bodies that, you know, they may have done volleyball, basketball, or wrestling, you know, in that season. And they're just, once they get to spring, they're just not doing anything, but they're a very valuable, like I said, an athletic body that you could use. And so that's one thing you get to recruit. The other part of it is, you know, you get to make sure that they're doing their part of, you know, their academic part, you know, they're going to be ready for your season. Cause you know, that's also usually springtime is kind of, as coaching goes, is your worrisome part is cause that's when kids tend to get that summer itis going, and then their grades start slipping, and then if their grades start slipping, then you may be losing a player during that time during softball. So you're kind of constantly, you know, managing that part. You're making sure that they're also, you know, taking care of their body. They're in the weight room or, you know, stuff like that. And then, like I said, then you get to hang out with them and joke with them, stuff like that. I mean, my shortstop here in Liberal, she always found where I was. You know, it didn't matter. And she was kind of like my second daughter. So, you know, we that's the one thing is you don't get that time when you're away from them. You know, it's always through messaging. You don't get that face-to-face and that. But when you're around them and all that stuff, then it's, you know, you get to enjoy the kids more too.
You mentioned the fact that you had helped out with sports like wrestling and football. Do you hope to continue coaching other sports or helping with other sports, or is your main focus now going to be softball?
I'm one of those. I'm a coach. it's natural for me that I love just that I took off from football. I kind of found my way back off on the football field. So it's one of those things that I just enjoy helping out, you know. And I've asked Bo and that, you know, if there's wanting me to help at other spots, and he says it's, you know, kind of up to me as well. Like I said, softball's going, you know, that's my job. That's number one. But at the same time, you know, I enjoy being around, you know, other sports. And, you know, I've got kind of passionate with even with wrestling and that. So, like, if, you know, if there's time that needs help or I want to be able to, then I will.
And, Coach, just a kind of a follow-up for that, you know, Emporia has had a tradition-rich wrestling program, and of course, you know, football is here as well. But what would it mean for you? I know Coach Lee Baldwin, who's the boys basketball coach at Emporia High, he's going to join Coach Caden Glintzman's staff this fall, along with being the head coach of boys basketball. But what would it mean for you to be helping, you know, throughout, if you got the opportunity to do so as an assistant in another program at the high school?
Well, you know, it's, you know, we had it here at Liberal, you know, especially in the football field. Our coaches are always saying how beneficial it was to have all us other coaches on there that were head coaches, because, you know, as a head coach, you have a lot of management skills that you do with your sport, and so when you bring it into another sport, it's one of those things that the other coaches don't have to really worry that much about, is they know that you're able to manage, you know, the athletes themselves, and so you don't have to worry about that part. And then, like I said, you're constantly with your athletes. And when I first got into teaching and coaching, that was one of the things that, you know, Coach Fulton from Hugoton, because I was eventually going to look at football, and he's like, hey, if you want to be a football coach, you want to go and be an assistant on wrestling, you know, because that way you get to monitor, you know, and help with your offensive line kids, because most of them go to wrestling. And so that's kind of how I got into it. So, I mean, that's one benefit of it, you know, it's like when it's wrestling and that, you know, I sometimes, as an assistant coach, I talk to some of those girls, you know, in wrestling, because, you know, they got a tough mindset, and I try to get them over in softball, because, you know, whatever I do there, they're just not, you know, the conditioning part is just simple to them, and they're just tough mindset. So, you know, it benefits to be in there with other athletes.
Well, Coach McClure, we certainly appreciate your time this morning. Welcome to Emporia. We'll obviously be following your program, and I know you can't wait to get started.
I can't, and that I'm grateful for it, and thank you guys for having me on this morning.
All right, Coach McClure, have a good rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
All right, Coach Tommy McClure, the brand new coach at Emporia High for softball, and he'll be taking over for Annie Rockley, and I know she felt like they were making some headway. She said, and of course, told us numerous times, you know, you really can't look at the record as far as this group was concerned, but they got so much better as the season went along, and so it'll be fun to see what Coach McClure can put together with this bunch.
Yeah, they're going to have, and Coach McClure's youngest is going to be a senior, as mentioned, and they didn't have that many juniors. I believe just a couple. I know Addie Kermer is one of them. But then you look after that, Ryan Howell, who is a sophomore this last season, will be the only junior. There could be some juniors that move up from the junior varsity squad. Don't know what that could look like. But then you also look at the freshmen that contributed this past spring. They're going to be a year older as sophomores, and they've got to have some confidence going into their second season, knowing that they were thrown into the fire this past spring with Coach Rockley.
All right. So we'll be paying certainly close attention to Emporia High softball under the new coach, Tommy McClure. Let's take our first break here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We'll come back with more Sports Talk being driven by LombineAuto.com.
At Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, summer is here, and that means hitting the road for those fun summer activities. And it also means summer savings on the right vehicle for you. Savings like $4,250 off MSRP on select new 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cabs. And we have new Chevy models arriving daily, so we'll have the right one for you. Or take a look at our inventory of pre-owned models in stock. We have pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUV models ready for those summer family adventures. And remember, Longbine Auto Certified Service will help keep your travel plans and your vehicle in top condition, too. So, for summer savings, right now, come see us at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia or visit us online 24-7 at longbineautoplaza.com. Chevy, find new roads. 1,750 consumer cash, 1,250 trade allowance, 1,000 Chevy select bonus, plus TTNL, rebates assigned to dealer.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. This week, we salute the outdoor track and field champions. On the men's side, Florida took home their second straight title. The Gators scored 57 points in the win, edging out Arkansas, who finished with 53. Florida sealed the national title in the 4x400-meter relay, where they set a collegiate record time of 257.74. The Gators are the first team to repeat as champs since. They did it in 2016 and 2017. This is the sixth outdoor track and field championship in program history, all of which have come under head coach Mike Holloway. He has won 13 national titles since he also coaches the indoor team and both programs on the women's side.
I mean, it's an amazing feeling. You know, I get asked all the time, you know, what's my favorite championships, and I jokingly but seriously say this is the next one. And the big thing was I challenged them to be better. I challenged them to be men, and they were, and that's why we're the next one.
The Longhorns women's outdoor team finds redemption. That's next on This Week in the NCAA.
Wendy's is open till midnight or later, so you can give in to the craving and go night mode. Now all of your favorite menu items just got their bedtime extended. You can get what you want even later, like the Baconator with 6 strips of bacon or the perfect fries and frosty duo. If you're up later, then so are we. So go ahead and pull through the drive-thru. When the craving hits, go night mode at Wendy's. Open till midnight or later. All right, see you later. At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary.
For track and field championship, after finishing as last year's national runners-up, they now have their first title since 2005. The Longhorns scored 83 points in this year's meet, which was held on their home track in Austin. They were led by graduate student Julian Alfred, who took home the individual title in the 100 and 200-meter events. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
And welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk. Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood in studio with you as I guess we'll continue with sports on the diamond. Mm-hmm. The Emporia 16s, a little bit of a winning streak now going, Dylan. What now, four in a row?
Four in a row after a sweep last night of North Lyon County, a team made up mostly of Northern Heights kids. They were wearing their Northern Heights uniforms. A young 16s group that's made up a majority of the junior varsity team from Emporia High, and then they got a couple of varsity kids. I can name a couple of them, Owen Ruge and Max Rusko and Madden Seidel. But a young group learning their ways. They played some really great competition. The first part of the season, Sam Ellis Classic, they were second, and they were playing a lot of the competition in the Sam Ellis Classic 2 weekends ago were older teams that were 17, 18-year-olds, and these guys are no older than 16. But it's a solid group, and they played in a triangular. Well, it was supposed to be a bigger tournament last weekend hosted by Emporia State in the baseball program, but the Dynamic Disc Open happening last weekend, there was a lot of teams that kind of had to say, no, we can't attend because can't find the hotels and everything with that. So last weekend was a triangular, and then even though they went 0-4 last weekend, I saw growth from the guys, and there were times where they were playing without Owen Ruge, Max Rusko, and Madden Seidel. Those three guys are on another travel team this summer as well. But they did see some competitiveness and fight, and then it's kind of carried over into this week. I know last night, just talking with Coach Brady McAfee, you know, just a difference with two games, and they really wanted to be there. They had some energy, but it just wasn't maybe there to start, but then it kind of carried over, and maybe there was a little motivational speech that happened in between the games that kind of helped them win the second game 11-1. And but yeah, I mean, a young group, and just like on the softball diamond, Anthony Markowitz has a lot of youngsters to work with as well.
Now, with this Emporia 16, are they all Emporia kids?
All Emporia kids. Okay. They're all Emporia High kids.
So Emporia 16s, now winners of four straight after they swept Northline County last night, 10-5 and 11-1, the final scores. And they will play again on Tuesday at Soden's Grove, 6 o'clock doubleheader. Kansas Senators, I believe.
Yeah, right? They are a team out of Topeka. I know the Senators have an older group and a younger group. I don't know if this will be the younger group or the older group that they actually played in the Sam Ellis Classic. But again, they played that Senators team. That was an extra inning game. I think it was 6-5, I believe, a couple weeks ago. But if they play that team again, they're going to be competitive. But I know the Senators have a younger team, so I guess it's wait and find out coming up on Tuesday. Yeah, they don't have that much left of their season, Tim. They play in a tournament next weekend in Topeka, which is based the Topeka Scrappers are hosting, and that's basically Siemens' summer program. So they'll be playing a tournament there, and then there's the off week that Keisha has sanctioned during the summer, and with the 4th of July coming up, and then they'll only have three more games after that. They'll play, I believe it's the Topeka Monarchs, and I think there's another team in there as well, but they're already way past the halfway mark of their season.
All right, so we want to see some youth baseball. Go to Soden's Grove Tuesday night. Again, 6 o'clock to start for that doubleheader. Moving to the professional ranks in baseball, the Royals, unfortunately, taking on the chin again. The series got off to such a promising start with the win on Thursday. But last night, the Rays with an 11-3 win. It started off pretty good. Pretty good ball game in the early innings. 3-3 tie in the third, and then after that, it was all Rays. And they go on to win, as I mentioned, 11-3. Royals now 21-55 on the season.
Whew.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Thank goodness for the Oakland A's. Royals still two games ahead of them.
Okay.
They're a couple games up on the A's for the worst record in baseball. But you know that, man, you watch them on occasion, they really look pretty good. I mean, they had the makings of a decent baseball team, and then, man, they just go out, and then the next night out, it just falls apart. They just had that one inning, it seems like, where things just unravel on them and they can't recover. And I guess that's just the beauty of youth. And again, this is a very young squad, and man, they are getting thrown into the fire, and it's been a rough go so far.
Yep. And it's going to be like that. Hopefully we see some things, maybe some bright spots here coming up, in the month of July, as the heat of the summer in the majors. But maybe a lot of people expected the Royals could get swept by the Rays. But for me, seeing them win Thursday night, that was big. And going in the last night, I'm like, okay, You know, Nick Prado got the Royals out to a 1-0 lead, and then they get down 3-1, and Salvador Perez hits the 2-run home run, 3-3. I'm like, okay, here is looking like last night over again.
And it's guys like Nick Prado that give you some cause for optimism. And the guy's really put together a pretty good first year and continues to hit the ball well. And so it's guys like that that kind of – it's like that one golf shot that keeps you coming back, yeah. You know. So hopefully, again, they can just keep getting better as the season moves along. A couple other baseball notes, one involving a former Royal, Will Myers, designated for assignment by Cincinnati. So Will Myers is out of Cincy. And I guess another Reds note, man, the rookie, Ellie De La Cruz, yeah. Hits for the cycle last night. Hits for the cycle. It was the first cycle hit by a Reds player in 34 years.
Wow.
You have to go back to Eric Davis. You and Dan may not know who Eric Davis even is.
No.
But, yeah, he played for them back in the 80s, early 90s. But, yeah, man, Ellie De La Cruz, a fantastic-looking young player. And again, hits for the cycle. Finished it off with a triple. That was his last hit that he got last night.
So he got the second hardest one.
Yeah,
he had that one left.
So it was just pretty amazing night for the rookie and the Reds. Not that we're talking necessarily Reds baseball, but it came at 12 straight. So Cincinnati playing some pretty good baseball. So So Royals back on the diamond today. 2:30 our coverage starts. And do we know who's on the hill today?
Well, it's Jordan Lyles.
Jordan Lyles, that's right. I heard you mention it. Jordan Lyles still in search of his first win, and we're in late June, so maybe he can make it happen today. So, again, Royals baseball here on KVOE at 2:30. Let's go ahead and take our final break, and then we'll come back for the stretch run here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com.
At Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, summer is here, and that means hitting the road for those fun summer activities. And it also means summer savings on the right vehicle for you. Savings like $4,250 off MSRP on select new 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cabs. And we have new Chevy models arriving daily, so we'll have the right one for you. Or take a look at our inventory of pre-owned models in stock. We have pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUV models ready for those summer family adventures. And remember, Longbine Auto Certified Service will help keep you keep your travel plans and your vehicle in top condition, too. So, for summer savings, right now, come see us at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia or visit us online 24/7 at longbineautoplaza.com. Chevy, find new roads. 1,750 consumer cash, 1,250 trade allowance, 1,000 Chevy select bonus, plus TTNL, rebates assigned to dealer.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
And we are back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood, as we have about, some 8 minutes left to go. And just looking through some notes here. Hudson Souder, nice round. Kansas Junior Golf Tour. He was playing in McPherson at Turkey Creek. Shot a 4-over-74 that left him tied for fifth, five strokes behind the eventual winner. But a good day of golf for Hudson Souder.
Yeah, and I was talking about a lot of golfers having a great summer. I know Nolan Jacob has played a little bit. Nolan will be a junior at Emporia High. Of course, Hudson will be a junior as well. But I know the Eckerts, Olivia, Avery, and Elise were in a tournament at Auburn Hills this past week.
Youth golf has just exploded here.
It's going. Yeah. You got Marley Harder and Chesney Urkel, and we had Marcus in here 2 weeks ago, or maybe it was last week. I'm kind of losing my dates.
Well, time flies, Dylan.
Yeah, I know.
Just wait till you get my age. Then it goes by real fast.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Youth golf is certainly live and well in Emporia. So, again, Hudson Souder, nice work there in McPherson. Things going on tonight involving some area athletes, KBCA All-Star Games.
Yep.
And certainly the area well represented. Emporia High's Rebecca Schneider. Mm-hmm. She will be playing for the blue team. They got Brooklyn Jones from Lebo on the gold team. And on the guy's side, Landon Boss out of Osage City. He'll play on the gold team. All three of those will be continuing their athletic endeavors in college. Rebecca, unfortunately, going to Washburn. We won't hold that against her, though, I guess.
I will tell you this, Tim. I was up at Emporia State team camp on Tuesday watching Emporia High play, and Rebecca was there, and I don't know how she walked in the high for wearing Washburn.
Oh, so she's a brave young lady. Then
I was like, I didn't say anything to her, but when I saw her, I'm like, you are very brave.
I guess
and
that's where
Coach
you're gonna
Osterman
go.
In the gym too.
I guess if you're gonna go, you gotta wear it proudly, I guess.
So yeah.
So and then Brooklyn Jones, she'll be competing in track at K-State, and then Landon Boss will continue his football career at Butler County. So some talent there being displayed tonight. 6 o'clock, I think the girls play,
yep.
And those games are in
Salina.
Is it Kansas Wesleyan?
Yeah,
as well
it's
at
K-Dub.
All right.
They've done some great renovations there within the last 3 years. They did a lot of good renovations during COVID, and nice gym. I know, being able to watch that event, very well put on, and I know the athletic department at Kansas Wesleyan, they will put on a really good broadcast. I put the link on the story on KVOE.com, and David Tolley, their sports information director, he's a Reading native, and he's been out there quite a while, and he's a good friend of Don Weiss too. He does a lot of good things out there at K-Dub, they'll have a really good high quality production for these All Star games. If you want to tune in, watch some local talent, and I'm excited to see what those three do, and of course with Rebecca continuing her basketball career, and then with Brooklyn Jones and Landon Boss getting to play their final basketball games, and all three of them played in the Flint Hills Optimus All-Star Classic back late in March.
Yep, and Rebecca was our Emporia High Athlete of the Year, and Brooklyn Jones was our area female athlete of the year. So, yeah, great high school careers for all those young folks. And, again, 6 o'clock to start for the girls' game out in Salina. Also some boxing tonight, if that's your preference, the Emporia Spartan Boxing will be in action. One young man making his amateur debut, Geraldo Nunez.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
15-year-old young man, 162-pound division. He'll be fighting tonight. That's in Kansas City at the Turner Academy. And bouts will start at around 5 o'clock. So if you want to catch some boxing, head to Kansas City and watch him, watch Mr. Nunez in his first bout. So best of luck to him. Other notes, just an Emporia State note. They had the Learfield Directors Cup standings announced. Emporia State moves up 70 spots from last year. So a good year, obviously. I think they were 118th. Mm-hmm. They had 15 sports that plays nationally in NCAA competition. 14 MIAA schools were in the top 200. You had 9 in the top 100, 6 in the top 50, led by, of course, Northwest Missouri State, who was 13th. But, man, a good year for Emporia State. And I know the AD there, Mr. Spafford, very happy with the fact they moved up 70 spots. Yeah. They're on their way up, and I know he certainly wants to continue that trend.
Yeah, yep. And AD Spafford doing some good things in year number one.
So congratulations to all the athletes at Emporia State that made that happen. Just a kind of going back to review, the NBA draft, of course, was Thursday and had some good local representation as far as those drafted. Grady Dick going 13th to Toronto, so he gets picked in the lottery. Had the absolute worst jacket of anybody there. That was not a good look for Grady. Some may have liked it. I was not overly impressed, but I guess He said it was a representation of Kansas, Dorothy's Ruby Slippers from The Wizard of Oz. I would maybe have gone a different direction to represent Kansas, but, you know, Grady's kind of an interesting guy.
Yeah.
He kind of walks to the beat of a different drummer, it seems. But, man, what a great deal, of course. Again, goes in the lottery to Toronto as the 13th pick. And I know he'll do really good things there. I mean, the kid can flat out shoot the basketball. And that's, of course, he has other things he's going to have to work on. Yeah, I think he'll make an impact in Toronto. And then, man, a great story, of course, Keontae Johnson at K-State. Young man, of course, that recovered from the heart condition he had at Florida. Got cleared to play. Had a great year at K-State. And then parlays that into the 50th pick in the draft going to Oklahoma City. So good for him. Hope things go well there. And then the very next pick, Jalen Wilson from Kansas goes to the Brooklyn Nets.
I think I was kind of surprised where Jalen Wilson mm-hmm. landed. I thought he may have been an early second rounder, but, you know, well, sometimes that happens.
Sure. Well, and like hearing Coach Self after the fact, you know, it, of course, a lot of times, too, it helps depending upon, you know, location and where you wind up. And Coach Self seems to think that Jalen will have a great opportunity to compete there in Brooklyn. But, yeah, I'm like you, Dylan. I thought he would go earlier. I think some had him projected around like the 38th pick mm-hmm. somewhere in there. But you just never know how the draft will go. You look at the kid from Villanova. Is it Cam Whitmore, I think?
I believe so.
A young man that many thought would be potentially a top 10 pick in the draft. He goes 20th to Houston. So sometimes you just never know. And then just one other note from there before we leave, Marquise Noel, the guy at K-State who, man, you talk about the guy who drove the whatever you want to say. He was
the
engine. Yeah, drove the bus. He was the engine. What a great season he had. He gets a two-way contract with Toronto. Now, I've been asked already, what's a two-way contract? Simply put, these guys can be rostered on the NBA team and its G League affiliate at the same time. And there's a certain amount of games they can play in the NBA. There's a lot of different little regulations with that. But bottom line is he is on a roster. And we'll get his opportunity, and certainly deserving of that.
And I heard that if he's on the NBA roster, he'll be the smallest player, like I believe to play in the NBA. I believe.
Or well,
it's something like that. I heard something about it, but I know
he may be the smallest on the current roster. I know you go back again. I'm going to mention a name you guys won't know. Muggsy Bogues played in the NBA, and he was 5'3". I think he could be the smallest guy on NBA rosters. A big guy, but man, a lot of heart and kid can flat play. Hopefully he'll do well there in Toronto with Grady Dick. So, mm-hmm. Well, Dylan, I think we've used our allotted amount of time here this morning.
Yeah. Good impromptu show and good interview with Coach McClure, a new softball coach at Emporia High. Another one down, and
that's right,
and many more to come.
All right, so yeah, again, thanks to Tommy McClure, new softball coach at Emporia High. Go out and enjoy the weekend. Gonna be a little steamy today, but I think tomorrow will be a little nicer, a little less humid. But anyway, go out and enjoy your weekend. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We've been driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Since 1939, news, weather, and sports. KVOE, 1400 AM Emporia, 96.9 FM, K245BQ Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. In a national address, Vladimir Putin vowed to punish the organizers of an armed rebellion, but his regime appears to be under threat. Yevgeny Prigozhin, the leader of Russia's mercenary Wagner Group, appears to now control military headquarters in the city of Rostov. ABC's Patrick Reeval has the latest.
Prigozhin has had a long-running public feud with the defense ministry, and this now seems to have exploded into open conflict. It appears that now there are Wagner forces moving towards Moscow. We've heard that from Russian officials that there is combat operations taking place in a region about 300 miles south of the capital.
Retired General Robert Abrams, an ABC News contributor, says regardless of the outcome,
this is going to destabilize and continue to destabilize the Russian government and their actions ongoing in Ukraine.
White House says President Biden has been briefed on the situation. Vice President Kamala Harris is in North Carolina. She's set to deliver a speech as today marks 1 year since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. President Biden speaking to abortion access groups on